Attorney John Eastman, once a dean and professor here at Chapman University, is barred from practicing law in the state of California. Reporter Simone Jackson breaks down what led to this decision.
Yes, thank you, Karen, Jenna. Well, the ruling comes after years of legal back and forth over Eastman's role in Donald Trump's 2020 election campaign. Eastman gained national attention for his legal efforts to delay the certification of former President Joe Biden's electoral win. He also spoke at a rally in Washington, D.C. just hours before the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol.
There was no case law saying that the advice I was giving was wrong. In fact, everybody acknowledged it was an open question that had never been decided.
But state bar officials say his defense didn't hold up. In March 2024, a state bar court recommended disbarment, finding him guilty on 10 of 11 charges.
Attorneys have to act honestly and uphold the rule of law, regardless of who they represent and regardless of the context in which they're representing.
The state bar says enforcing those rules is key to maintaining trust in the legal system.
I've talked to John Eastman a lot at this microphone. He's become a good friend of mine through the years. I know I say that about a lot of people, but it's true. I've just been around a long time. So I have a lot of incredible friends, as you've seen. And they mean a lot to me. So I think that's why I say it. I just wanted you to know that. But John, yes, he was disbarred in Los Angeles. It was a kangaroo circus and it went on for such a long time. And in the process of that, the Los Angeles Bar or the California Bar Association in the trial would not allow John to present his evidence. The people that he brought in to testify were not allowed to testify. It was such a kangaroo court. It was disgusting. And so, yes, with all the credentials that John has, all of his achievements, they took away his law license in California. Now they're threatening it in D.C. And that's neither here nor there for today's discussion. But we're going to talk to John because a lot of funky stuff is happening in elections around our country, not the least of which is California right now. So we're going to talk to him about all of that and more. But first, well, we talk about how to save babies all the time and their mothers, because preborn focuses on the mom and the dad, if you'll come and talk to them, because they actually provide ultrasound images of the baby in the womb. And it's amazing. It's so powerful. You know, even if it's not your baby and you see that, it's just an amazing, really to me, a sign of the existence of God and his handiwork. Because how in the world can you explain the intricacies, the development in the gestational period of babies, to have, you know, fingers sucking and little eyes and a little cute nose. And you can sometimes even already see that the baby looks like a person, the mother or the father or grandmother or something. And it's very moving. And so what they do is powerful. And so we want to give them a shout out all the time. And they help support this show. That's the least important thing I want to tell you. But I'm grateful that they do, because I'm so grateful they're our partners. It's very important to me to save lives. I felt that way for, you know, since I even became aware of abortion when I was 21. It was shocking to me. So if you want to help Preborn provide those ultrasounds, it's $28 for one ultrasound. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. All right, stay tuned, because up next is Professor John Eastman, a constitutional scholar, former clerk for Justice Thomas, just a man who's just of the highest character. He will not back down when he believes something is true. And that is certainly true on the evidence that the 2020 election was stolen. We'll talk about that in part two on this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
It was a dirty election.
Mr.
And it's
President,
happening again right now in California.
You've never presented evidence.
It's happening
that the
right now in California. Right now, it's look at what's happening in California.
Where's the evidence to that?
It's
the
4 days.
The Republicans are doing well
in California. It's, no, they're not. They're dropping fast because it's a rigged election. Let me tell you, it's 4 days. And they aren't even close
well,
to coming
they,
up
that's
with
how they count
You know
the
why
votes
they're doing that? Because they're cheating on the election.
There's what do you have evidence they're, to support?
All
that?
I have to do is look. All well, I have to do is
that's
look.
Not evidence.
And I listen. And I listen to people but, and let's see what happens.
But sir, that's not evidence.
Do you think
and
it's appropriate?
That's how they
that
count they the votes.
Do you
California?
Think it's appropriate that they have an election and 5 days later they're nowhere close to picking
State
a winner?
State and local officials acknowledge they are slow. They're urging.
No, they're crooked.
They're urging
they're crooked.
The votes to be counted quickly. That's how they
they're
vote in
crooked,
California.
They're crooked, just like you're crooked. Your press is crooked, and Meet the Press is crooked.
To be fair, I'm not crooked, but let's
really?
Let's
well,
continue.
You play right into their hands.
Let's continue.
You're either crooked or you're stupid.
Let's
You
continue.
Play right into their hands with this rep. You know that these elections are rigged. Your network knows that they're rigged. You know that I won an election in a landslide, and I got 94% bad press.
But, Mr. President,
you know why
you've
I got
never
that?
Presented
because you have no
evidence.
Credibility.
But you've never presented evidence that it was rigged. Let's keep talking about I want to talk about Todd
You
Lynch.
Have more evidence. There's more evidence than ever presented.
Let's talk
Your
about
Your elections
you
in this country.
Court.
We're like a third world country.
But, sir,
Your elections are crooked, and you're crooked, and Meet the Press is crooked,
but, Mr. President,
and so is ABC and CBS and CNN.
But, Mr. President,
you're one-sided crooked networks. Right. Let's call it quits because I've had enough. Thank you, darling. Have a good
Mr.
time.
Mr. President, let's please. I traveled all the way to Wisconsin.
I've sat
I
in the rain
all
with you.
I know.
I've
I traveled
sat in the rain
all the
with
way
you
to
for
Wisconsin.
An hour, on and off in the rain, and I've given you enough time. You ought to straighten out your press because you know what?
Mr. President,
a country can never be great with a dishonest
all, listen,
press.
Listen, we traveled all the way to Wisconsin for this interview.
Well, that was the sound of the microphone being crushed under President Trump's foot by accident. But that's the president, and that's how the press treat him. Kristen Welk. Okay, she's saying what all the press says, for the most part, except Fox and Newsmax and other outlets like that. There's no evidence. There's no evidence. No evidence. So we're not just going to talk about that today, but it reminds me of a man named John Eastman, who is our guest today. All of you know John well. He's been with me many, many times. He's the founding director of the Claremont Institute Center for Constitutional Jurisprudence and a lot of other things with Claremont. He clerked with Justice Thomas. He worked with Kirkland and Ellis in Los Angeles. How delightful that must have been back in 1999. A lot better than it is now, I'm guessing. He worked with the Federalist Society, and he's also represented 17 parties before the Supreme Court of the United States. He represented Hobby Lobby in the Burwell versus Hobby Lobby. Conestoga Wood, a lot of things, a lot of champion, important decisions. John represented, from my perspective, to put it simply, because I've been watching The Rifleman, The Good Guy, and had great success before he became a pariah to the left. So, John, first of all, thank you for joining me always. Thank you.
Oh, Sandy, thanks very much for having me back on. I love you and your audience, and it's always a pleasure.
All right, so John, that's California. I mean, what did you think of that? I know what I think, but what did you think of that exchange? Did President Trump do a good job, you think?
Well, I think he did. But look, I mean, you know, the standard mantra from the left, and you know, when President Trump accused her of being a leftist, and she said, "No, I'm just a reporter." Well, unfortunately, that's become synonymous. So
totally.
When she says that there's no evidence. What they never tell you is that they're working overtime to prevent anybody from providing the evidence. Just look at the litigation currently underway out in California by the Attorney General of California against the sheriff in Riverside County who took possession pursuant to a court warrant of absentee ballots, of the ballots in the Proposition 50 special election to alter the state's congressional districting map. He got a court order for that because there was a discrepancy of 46,000 votes.
Wow.
More ballots recorded by the county clerk than had been recorded as having been received. And so he got a search warrant. He seized those ballots, and he was conducting an investigation. And the attorney general filed suit against them to try and prevent that investigation from going forward. So when they work overtime to try and prevent you from looking at what's happened, it's a pretty strong circumstantial case that there's smoke, that there's fire behind that smoke that ought to be investigated.
I should actually create a montage of all the reporters who've said there's no evidence, there's no evidence. And just for the record, there's no evidence of the 2020 election. When you and I both know, John, you're the chief, man. You're the A1 person who has really a photographic memory, and you know every jot and tittle of what happened in 2020. So we won't go into that because we have often, but I just try to want people to know that. So now California, let's start there, because you know Spencer Pratt was running ahead. I don't know if he was exactly ahead of Karen Bass, who was the incumbent mayor, the one that disappeared during the fire in Pacific Palisades and went to Africa. And, you know, before she left, they had fired several firemen. They didn't have water in the reservoir. They didn't have water for the firemen. And so the place just burned down, and Spencer Pratt's home was lost. And he's just been dynamite in this race. And because he's like coming out of nowhere, it's amazing that he was in at least second place to be the mayor. And now, like overnight, John, you're probably following this, Los Angeles City Council member Nitya Rimmon has overtaken Spencer Pratt. And it's amazing because I've been reading that Spencer, there was an overnight, I don't know if it was last night, I don't think so. A few nights ago, there was a ballot drop late night, and Spencer Pratt got, well, let's see, 0 out of 24,000 votes. They all went to, you know, one of the others, Karen Bass or Nitya Rimmon. So he was running 30% support, and he got 0 out of that 24,000. So people are saying something's rotten in Denmark, and I'll just pause because otherwise I'd just keep talking. And so your thoughts about what's going over there and counting elections in California?
Well, no, it needs to be investigated. And, you know, I talked about the Sheriff Bianco investigation. They claimed that he had no basis for launching it. Well, he did have basis, and he got a court to agree and issued a warrant based on probable cause. And then that's been blocked. And then the state legislature passed a statute, emergency statute, just last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago now. The Governor Newsom signed very quickly that prohibits anybody from conducting these kind of investigations. And now you're absolutely right. When one of the ballot drops had 24,000 new ballots added, and zero went to Mr. Pratt. Most of the rest went to Karen Bass, but a significant number went to the third place finisher. What's happened in the nearly week since that election is a 40,000 vote gap between Mr. Pratt in second and the city councilwoman in third has now been erased, and now she's moved into second place. But when you get a ballot drop that shows zero ballots, I mean, it's just almost statistically impossible. Zero ballots for the second place finisher out of 24,000, he doesn't get a single vote in a ballot drop. That's just insane. So clearly something's going on there. And it's also going on in the governor's race. I mean, you know, the significant gap that existed between Steve Hilton, who was in second place, that itself may be suspicious, and then Tom Steyer, who was in third place, that significant gap is rapidly closing. And it's that kind of stuff that President Trump was talking about on the segment you played at the outset of the program. Now we all know that, you know, different regions come in differently, and they're, you know, but when somebody comes in like Pratt with zero votes, it's not a different region, different parts of the city that, you know, weighed one more ballot candidate heavily than the other. That just is a stinks of fraud. It stinks of the old ballot stuffing stuff. Let's figure out how many we need and then go get them. it stinks of the same kind of thing up in Detroit in the 2020 election. You know, 135,000 ballots all of a sudden show up at 4:30 in the morning. They've been picked up at what they were euphemistically calling the Chicago warehouse. Talk about telegraphing that we're going to engage in fraud by calling their ballot storage warehouse the Chicago warehouse. You know, and at some point, somebody has got to step up and put a stop to this, because we no longer live in a free republic if we don't control the direction of our government through free and fair elections.
Well, I'm still a strong believer in the nefariousness of these voting machines, John. And I mean, I'm not, I think that's the only problem. But it's all they need is that. All they need is a voting machine that they can control. And in California, I don't know if it's in the entire state or just in L.A. County, they use Smartmatic voting machines. And those are the ones that were developed by Hugo Chavez's engineers. They have an organization comparable, or a school comparable to MIT there, and they're graduating some brilliant people. And I think four engineers from there manufactured the Smartmatic machine, which was designed to be able to change the votes so he could keep his place. Now, that's what California still has, or at least L.A. County. And so I'm going to go on just for a second. A director of national intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, I will never forget, John, I bet you didn't either. She got in, and in January the 15th, she declassified a National Intelligence Council memorandum called Vulnerabilities in U.S. 2020 Election Infrastructure, which judged that Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea all had the capability to compromise the U.S. election infrastructure. And there's just so much more about that. But she calls out the voting machines. And I think I have read, I don't know if you've read this or not, please confirm if you have, that Maduro, who's been, of course, he was kidnapped, arrested, whatever, and brought over, he's in our jail, that he is now spilling his guts. I heard this. I can't verify it. Spilling his guts on these voting machines. And so...
Well, that would be huge. I've not heard that, but I do know that there were criminal indictments issued down in Miami against, I believe, if my recollection is correct, against the leaders of Smartmatic for illegally interfering with an election in the Philippines, if I remember that correctly.
Yes, that is true.
And then we had litigation over the voter database being stored on a Chinese server. This was that litigation proceeded with an indictment, if I'm again remembering correctly, in Los Angeles County that was then quietly dropped. So there are huge issues here that people are working overtime to try and hide under the rug, and they are significant. There's a reason our election systems are classified as national security sensitive infrastructure.
You know, one other thing, I mean, there's so many things to say, but John, you will remember that after Hillary Clinton lost in 2016 and the left went apoplectic, screaming, crying, all of this, that there was a movie, documentary produced on voting machines, and it was called Kill Chain. So the Democrats produced that. I think you could still get it on Netflix or Prime. It describes how these machines work and how you can change the votes. Now, I want to hasten to say again, I recognize there are a lot of other problems as well. But I've always been a firm believer, immovable, unshakable, that these machines are really, they're really all they need to use to get rid of, to change the votes and make the outcome the way they want them to be. And I think any place where they delay voting, like they are in California, is just so suspect. It's just so suspect.
Well, the Republicans learned a long time ago that when Chicago would hold off on its votes, reporting of its votes until the South, the more Republican parts of the state had reported their votes, and then all of a sudden the Chicago vote comes in just enough to win the election. So the Republicans started holding their reporting until after Chicago reported. You know, when you know how many votes the delta is, how many you're short, it makes it easier to know how many votes to inject in the system in order to win, if you are committed to engaging in fraud, if necessary, in order to get over the finish line. And the notion, given the hundreds of millions and billions of dollars spent on these campaigns, the notion that people don't have an incentive to engage in fraud in order to prevail, is either naive or willfully blind. We need to have these systems fixed. We need to have more immediate and thorough scrutiny on what's going on. And when you've got, like we had in Riverside County, a 46,000 vote discrepancy, then doggone it, count the votes, count the actual ballots, compare it to the voter registration cast vote record, and find out where the discrepancy is. Maybe it's an simple human error explanation. Somebody forgot to turn in a ballot slip that had 46,000 votes on it, but I doubt it. And the more we doubt it, the more we undermine our faith in the elections.
John, do you know where it is? President Trump's been talking for a time about crafting an executive order to stop mail-in balloting and anything other than same-day voting. I believe that's those are the parameters. Do you know anything about the status of that, or if he can even do that?
For presidential elections, the Constitution assigns plenary power to the state legislatures. So not even Congress has authority to alter the manners for choosing presidential electors. So I doubt the president would have that authority. Now, there are other things that kick in, and I don't want to close the door on these. Voting Rights Act, the 15th Amendment, other constitutional amendments requiring voting rights. And all of those come with the authority to enforce them by appropriate legislation. Because Congress has authorized the designation election systems as critical infrastructure, that gives the president certain powers there. But just straight up, without that other statutory background, the Constitution would not allow it. It would allow it for congressional races, because although the state legislature set the time, place, and manner for elections for federal congressional elections, Congress can override those, and therefore arguably can delegate authority to the president to impose certain things by executive action as well.
And we know this Congress would rush to do that, don't we?
Well, let's talk about the SAVE Act and the idiocy going on. I mean, when have you seen in your life an issue that got 85% of the American people in support of it, that the Senate can't seem to get over a 50-vote threshold to pass it?
Yeah,
I mean, it's not only insane, sticking a finger in the eye of the American people, but it is about as politically stupid as I've ever seen. The American people are demanding action to fix our elections. 85%, and that's 75% of Democrats support this thing, and the Republicans in the Senate can't get it across the finish line. I mean, for heaven's sakes, what good are they? And the base of the Republican Party is asking themselves that very question right now, and the answer is not looking good for those senators that are pulling this shenanigans.
No, and let me remind people, this is the Save America Act. That's the title of it. It requires voter ID, and it's about to make sure that non-citizens aren't voting. Only citizen voting. That's what they're going for. So just this past week, let's see. Well, the Republicans are lockstep in, no, they don't want the Save America Act because they don't want to save America. But we've got four Republicans who pitched in with them. It's Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, Mitch McConnell, Tom Tillis. It is so disgusting to me, John. I never seen anything like this. And John Thune's leadership on this has been disgusting to me. Non-leadership, I would say. He always says, I don't have enough votes. I can't do that. I remember a time I was in Washington when Tom DeLay was the whip in Congress. And I saw firsthand what you have to do to get people in line to vote for something important like this. And I don't think John's done any of that unless he's, gone the other way. And behind, whispered in their ear, don't do it. I don't know. It's just disgusting. Like Mitch McConnell from Kentucky. Of course, I know he's not up for election, but wouldn't you assume that Mitch McConnell would be a patriot?
Well, look, he and his staff have long since succumbed to pressure or incentives from K Street. And he's on his way out the door. So he doesn't give a crap about free elections and his constituents in Kentucky. The same thing's true of Tom Tillis, on his way out the door, trying to have a smooth landing with lucrative lobbying contracts from K Street. It's despicable. What we've got going here is a refusal to implement something that 85% of the American people support. It's common sense. Two things. When you register to vote, you got to prove you're a citizen, so that we don't have any of the 20 million people that the Biden administration let in as illegal immigrants registering to vote with fake Chinese driver's licenses. All of these things are true, and then affecting the outcome of our election by our principal enemy on the world stage. And then when you go to vote, you got to show a picture ID so that, you know, the people can confirm that the person claiming to vote is who they're voting for. You know, and I mean, these are common things, sense things that most countries in the world require. And the fact that we don't, I mean, if we were to have a UN delegation watching our elections in the way that we participate in delegations to watch elections in other countries, these elections would be roundly refused to be certified because of these kind of shenanigans.
I've never seen anything like it in my lifetime. I really haven't. I've never seen a situation where so-called Republicans would vote for something so anti-American that makes their country weaker, well, has the potential to destroy our country. And these four, tell us, Murkowski, Susan Collins, and Mitch McConnell. And there are others, too. If they'd been around, well, they would have voted for it.
There's pretty good circumstantial, at least, evidence that Lisa Murkowski won her election in Alaska as an independent. Or a write-in with some wonky stuff going on in that election. So she may have a vested interest in not allowing honest elections. I don't know. But the fact that these people, you know, and Susan Collins, you know, trying to appeal to moderates and liberals in Maine, why is it that 100% of the Democrats vote against the SAVE Act? Something as basic as voter ID, picture ID, in order to be able to vote, so that we can confirm that the person casting the vote is the person that actually is allowed and eligible to cast that vote. Why would 100% of the Democrats oppose such a common sense thing that 75% of the voters in their own party support? It's because one has to surmise that they have some benefit coming from the opening the door to fraud that preventing SAVE Act would allow. And that's, I think, something that we have to take very seriously and treat as very concerning.
Oh, I do too. I mean, it's worse when your own supposedly stab you and stab the nation in the back. It's just worse.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Preborn makes it possible for us to have these conversations. And you all, meant so many of you have been faithful donors. Just amazing. You are amazing to me. I would say that, you know, Preborn advertises on almost all the major talk shows and podcasts. And our show performs as well as, from my understanding, most of those major podcasts. And you know why? It's because of you. It's because of you. There are fewer of you, but you give generously and you really believe in saving babies. And so thank you for that. I'm deeply grateful. I'm deeply grateful. And so for just $28, which is the cost of a dinner right now, in most places where most normal people eat, you can sponsor an ultrasound or introduce a mom to her baby for the very first time. And 100% of your donation will go towards saving those babies. Just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. I want to take a moment to tell you about an event that's coming up June 16th to the 19th. It's going to be in Lincolnshire, Illinois. Okay, why would I be mentioning this? Because it's Turning Point USA. It's Turning Point USA, and it's absolutely fabulous. Bruce and I'm pretty sure we're going to be there. We'd love to see. You know, for those of you that don't live in Illinois or in the Chicago area, Southwest has some really good flights to Chicago. Wherever you are, trust me, I've taken them many times. And they're not bad in terms of the cost either. So this Educator Summit is what it's called. Courage in Our Convictions, Cultivating Clarity in Chaos. You know, Turning Point continues to be doing some absolutely incredible things. And this is just one more of them. The head of their education department is Hutz Hertzberg. You've heard Hutz on this show. He's a very close friend of mine, and he's been with Turning Point, you know, for several years now. Hutz is just a godly man, smart as he can be, and He had a near-death experience, which I had him come and share with on the program a few years ago. And so Charlie Kirk hired Hutz, and Hutz, you know, was able to really bring some wisdom to all that Charlie was doing. So who are the speakers at this conference? Erica Kirk is coming, George Barna, Al Mohler, John Stonestreet, Megan Basham. She's the one who wrote Shepherds for Sale. She was our guest to talk about that. Riley Gaines, Mary Miller. Mary is a congresswoman from Illinois. She's been with us too, but it's been a while. She's a beautiful, beautiful woman who is a farmer who has like six children. And she's just a firebrand in Congress, strong believer in Christ. Now, some of these people I don't know, but I'll mention a few names. Ben Shetler, Ryan Walters, David Goodwin, Heather Lloyd, maybe they're familiar names to you. Bill Federer, Erwin Lutzer, you've heard those names because Erwin Lutzer has been on this show many times, and so is Bill Federer. Bill is just a real wonderful, masterful history, expert in history. You've heard his commentaries. And John Woodbridge is going to be there, Bruce Lockerbie, Scott Phelps. Scott's a guy who's been fighting or promoting abstinence for many, many years. Tom Morrison, Natasha Harris, let's see, I can't mention them all. I think I'll stop with that. But it's June 16th through the 19th in Lincolnshire, Illinois. And if you'd like to go, go to turningpointed.com. Turningpointed, as in education.com. Turningpointed.com. And check it out. You can reserve a space. It's, again, June 16th through the 19th. In Lincolnshire, Illinois. Lincolnshire. That's on the north side of Chicago, by the way, in case you want to know. So, again, turningpointed.com.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Right. So what's being done on Capitol Hill to get this common sense voter ID bill passed? No one's been a stauncher advocate than the co-author of the Save America Act, Utah Republican Senator Mike Lee. Senator Lee, I want to start by playing some comments for you from AOC. She said this yesterday. Here are the plans of Democrats.
When you have to meet a 60-vote threshold, nothing is real anymore. You're not really responsible for any consequential decisions outside of reconciliation. Let Lisa Murkowski take that vote on the SAVE Act. Let Susan Collins take that vote on the SAVE Act. I dare you. I dare you. Call the question. Get rid of the filibuster.
Okay.
And let them be responsible for their own decisions.
That's their plan, Senator Lee.
Yeah, look, it sounds to me like AOC is coming awfully close to endorsing the plan to nuke the zombie filibuster and then pass the Save America Act.
You know, actually, AOC made a lot of sense there, because what she's saying is something that I would say to you, but maybe a little differently, that Republicans are in power in the Senate, and the 60-vote threshold, you have to decide, are we ready to vote? Let's vote to see if we're ready to take the vote. But they have to have 60 senators say yes in order to proceed to the actual vote on the issue. So what happens is they go, well, they shrug their shoulders. John Thune shrugs his shoulders and says, I don't have 60, so it's just hopeless, so we won't even bring that up. So it happens all the time. It's just an excuse to do nothing. Like I said earlier in my conversation with John, I remember when a speaker, Tom DeLay, who was the Republican in the House, I realize it's the House, not the Senate, but it's the same but different. He was called the hammer for good reason, because he knew what exactly to say to other congressmen, Republican congressmen, to get them to line up and vote on something that the president wanted or that was essential. And so Tom whipped him. That's what his job is whipping. And the Senate just doesn't. They've got, well, we'll just never. Oh, no, we just can't do that because we have to have 60 votes to even pass it. So shrug, too bad. So they never take responsibility. That's what Ocasio-Cortez is saying. And so then she goes on to talk about the filibuster, and she's right. They're protecting people that their voters would hate what they're doing, but they don't have to vote because there's 60 votes, you know, that's needed. And so if they do away with the filibuster, no longer Do you have 60 votes? You can pass it by simple majority, which is what we're trying to get them to do. But they don't want to do it because they'd have to take a stand on an issue. And they're leftist Republicans, feckless, worthless from my perspective, like Tom Tillis and Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski and all the other traitors, really, I would say Mitt Romney, I could go on and on, would look bad because if they voted against what the people want, then they would be in trouble. So she's right about that. Okay, well, I hope you've enjoyed talking to Johnny and Eastman. I mean, we covered so much ground, and if you're like me, you learned a lot. I always do when I talk to him. And so I hope you did enjoy it. Well, I want to remind you that we can do this because we are sponsored by Preborn. Preborn is in the business of saving the lives of unborn babies. And I wish I were younger. I would take one of those unborn babies. It would be so sweet to be able to raise another baby, another child, and why is it that other women take for granted, don't understand the preciousness of that life within them? I never have understood that. I know sometimes you get in situations where you just feel like you have no choice, but that's why organizations like Preborn, who help you with supplies and all kinds of things to make it through your pregnancy if you're alone, there are places that will help you. So if you're in that category, there is a way to help you, and Preborn is on the front line of that. So go to preborn.com/Sandy. Those of you that are listening and want to help, those moms that are listening and confused and scared, it's $28 for one ultrasound to persuade them to keep that baby, and it does work. So go to preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.